Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Percent of evangelicals say they believe spiritual energy is located in mountains and trees. A similar number say they believe in astrology. And we see even higher figures among other Christian groups.
It sends a message again, lesbian Episcopalians, that there are no barriers to them in our church. In our church, we're open and receptive to people.
The lights are beautiful. We decorate our homes. We sing songs. We play the game dreidel.
The world is waiting for a proper deal here. We don't have time, and we have only this one world, you know. If it goes, we're all done.
It gets harder and harder as each day passes, closer and closer to the celebration of Christmas, to keep Advent, Advent, and to remember that Advent is essentially this ancient penitential season for the church. That doesn't mean that we don't anticipate Christmas. Of course, in a human sense, we kind of need to. Everybody needs to do their Christmas shopping early, they say, and all of the preparations are certainly made in the home. Those are all good things. But the church marks time differently than the year, and certainly different than Madison Avenue and the marketing people who tell us that Christmas has to begin before Christmas begins. And the church has traditionally understood the penitential seasons, these times and seasons for penitence and for repentance, as healthy for our way of understanding our time here in this world. We're going to talk about one of them, Ember Days. You may have never heard of it. I haven't. On this Tuesday afternoon, the 22nd of December, Pastor Scott Kinneman of Concordia Publishing House joins us for the first few minutes of this first hour to talk about Ember Days. We'll talk about the virgin birth with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. After that, debunk some of the alternate explanations. Elaine Pagel says it was just a fancy and imaginative way of explaining away Jesus' illegitimacy. And many believe it. During the second hour of Issues Etc. today, it's open lines. We're asking a simple question, and we want your simple answer. What is your favorite Christmas hymn and why? The why is very important. We want you not only to think of the hymn, but think about that hymn and be able to tell us why it is among your favorite Christmas hymns. A lot of people love Christmas because of the hymns. And if they start naming off the ones they really like, I want you to kind of sort it out and say, which one is my favorite if I had to choose a favorite? That's the second hour of Issues Etc. today. Open lines. You can call us with your votes. We're going to give voters who call top priority, and the best reason for the vote gets the LPR bundle package, an I Have Issues t-shirt. They're brand new. An Issues Etc. bumper sticker, an Issues Etc. pin, and an Issues Etc. travel mug. That's the best vote during open lines in the second hour of the program. What's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? You can call 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor Scott Kinneman is senior editor of periodicals and consumer books development for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Scott, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd, for having me.
Why does the church mark time differently, and why does it punctuate that time with regular times for repentance?
The church marks time as a way to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And so the church's time then is organized around those great events of Christ's life. And the chief event and the oldest time marked in the church is the event of his crucifixion. And then Lent, Holy Week, Easter, and the season of Easter were the first seasons of the church year built up around that keystone event, the redemption, salvation event of Christ's life. The second event that was marked then became his birth. We celebrate that now on December 25th. And the season of Advent was built first as a season to prepare. All the great events of the church have a time of preparation. And Advent was set up as that time of preparation for the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So where does Ember Days fit in? I've never heard of it.
Ember Days have been set up since the earliest times of the church and actually prescribed in the Roman Catholic Church by some of the earliest popes as times of repentance marked by fasting, almsgiving, and church attendance.
I thought we left all this stuff behind. I mean, didn't the 16th century Reformation lay aside all of these shows of penitence and repentance?
Well, we certainly did mark that there were abuses in the word you use there, these shows of penitence and fasting were certainly something that's been set aside. But even our Lord Jesus Christ talks about the fact in Matthew 18 that there are times to fast. He doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast, and then he talks about this fasting. Luther even talked about in the Augsburg Confession, as he worked with his Philip Melanchthon, that there are proper times to fast, and calls it the opportunity for training the body, which basically means training your belly. And as we train the body and miss these meals, we set aside then not an opportunity to gripe about what we're missing, or to put on a great show about what we're missing, but to then set aside that time for prayer, and then the money that is saved by not feeding yourself that time is the almsgiving to the church.
Also strongly associated with the general penitential seasons and the Ember Days is catechetical instruction, basic instruction in the simple things of the and elemental things of the Christian faith. Why?
Well, let's go back just a little bit. The Ember Days were set up to be celebrated at the four times of the church year when the seasons four times of the calendar year when the seasons change. And so when you're thinking about God's great abundance, was a great time to set aside time then to fast and to return to God thanksgiving for that. About the time of the Reformation, as as the abuses in what was happening with these required fasts and these shows of fasting, Luther and the Lutheran preachers began to see that these were important times that could be used to teach the faith, and so they kind of transitioned these into catechetical times. Luther's pastor even would set aside a total of 10 preaching dates to go through the small catechism four times a year.
I imagine that if that was really the order of the day, the laity, hearing this as often as they did, could hardly have been, at least over time, as ignorant as some laity and pastors are today of basic Lutheran doctrine.
You would think so. but what's happened is we still, unfortunately, have our ear to the world. And at times we seem, Todd, to have boiled things down to we want to say essentials, but sometimes we have lost the opportunities that the church year and these church cycles have given us for being in the Word and returning to this teaching. And when we worked on the Treasury of Daily Prayer and started talking about these natural cycles that were showing up in the church year, it seemed a real natural thing to reacquaint us Lutherans with what Ember Days are and the opportunity that we have regularly to be to reacquaint ourselves with this teaching. But the understanding of repentance and prayer doesn't have to stay within a season of Advent or Lent, or even within these cyclical seasons of Ember Days. It's also an opportunity whenever we are in our own times and need to refocus ourselves to get back to the catechism, use it as the prayer book that Luther has so much intention for it, and to get back into whatever program our practice of prayer that probably has slipped or has been lightly set aside, and have our own seasons of repentance and prayer. That could be a season of illness. It could be a season of stress. It could be a season of thanksgiving for something wonderful that's happened.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor Scott Kinnaman talking about Ember Days and about repentance. But Luther says at the very beginning of the Reformation that when Christ commands that we repent, he intends that the entire life of the Christian be one of repentance, not just a season, not just a time. And yet there are times when the Christian and the church has seen fit to highlight repentance. Advent is one of them. It's so easy to be infected early with the joy of Christmas, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but to remember that Christmas waits, that it will arrive in due time, and that the proper preparation that the Christian always engages in, whether he anticipates Christmas or the resurrection or the changing of the seasons or a change in his life, is always the attitude of repentance. But what does that mean? Does that mean we walk around with our heads hung low all the time, our eyes averted from the skies, lest God strike us down? Not really. When we come back, we'll talk about the nature of true Christian repentance. It is really, in a lot of ways, quite different than even some Christians suppose. As we talk about Ember Days on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 22nd, Pastor Scott Kinnaman is our guest. He's senior editor of Periodicals and Consumer Book Development for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. In a few minutes, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to join us. We'll talk about the virgin birth. Is it really true, and how important is it? There are those who would say, fine, Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of this little Jesus, but that virgin stuff has to be legendary or a myth. It had to be made up after the fact to explain something away, like Jesus' illegitimacy. We'll have Dr. John Warwick Montgomery respond to that in a few minutes here on Issues, Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Scott Kinnaman about Ember Days. Scott, the CPH has turned out a great resource, Concordia Publishing House, a great resource for kind of, you talked before about this, reacquainting us Christians and the church with the things that have always been ours, always been our heritage by way of piety and liturgical practice, but we have abandoned them or perhaps just simply forgotten them from disuse, the Treasury of Daily Prayer. Tell us about this resource.
Well, Treasury of Daily Prayer is a comprehensive, all under one cover resource that allows the Christian to get back to reading the Bible in large sections continuously through the church year and augmenting that with writings from the church fathers, the saints, glorious hymn verses and prayers that all focus us into God's Word on a regular basis.
Folks, you can find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen, go to the on-demand page, and you'll find a resource there, a link to Treasury of Daily Prayer. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and order one. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Let's do some of that remedial work if we could. Talk about the true nature of Christian repentance, Scott.
Well, I think the easiest way to boil it down is to say that repentant believers are those who are sorry for their sins and believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. That's the heart of it, Todd.
Is it really that simple?
No, because we have, as you talked about at the top of the hour, we have the world that vies for so much of our attention. To live the repentant life is to say, I am in the world, but not of the world, to remember that we are children of our Heavenly Father, and that we have to constantly remind ourselves and live as in this repentance. That is, I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins, but I live for Christ, who is my Savior from that sin. It's not to go around and to be in sackcloth and ashes all day, but it is to go around with a keen understanding of the reality of whose we are, and what He says about us is absolutely true. What He says about us, that we are sinners absolutely in need of a Savior, and without a Savior have no hope of being united with God, but that we are also the beloved children of God, whom sent His Son to exact our salvation and gives that benefit to us.
So finally, Scott, make the case that the church does well, the family, the individual Christian does well, to consider and return to the practices that our theological ancestors considered part and parcel of their daily piety, especially with regard to these times, these little seasons or big seasons of repentance. 1 minute.
Well, we want to put doctrine aside as something that we kind of dabble in on Sunday mornings, or we have to really immerse ourselves in at confirmation time or something like that. But really, Christian doctrine gives us a framework by which we live, and it points us continually to Christ. It does it through its word, through God's Word. And it's that pointing to Christ that, whether it be Ember Days, whether it be the seasons of preparation, whether it be the holidays themselves in the church, we're always pointing to the one source that we have for life, and that's Jesus.
Pastor Scott Kinnaman is senior editor of periodicals and consumer book development for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Scott, it is always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.